Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters, your host of the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to feel your best. Very excited today to be talking about expanding, enhancing, and utilizing to the utmost your intuition. We all have intuition to some level. We all use it to some level. But are we really using it to make to guide us in life, to make the best decisions that are best for us in life? So very exciting topic. And to discuss intuition with us, we have Carol Gold on the show, our guest. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Carol Gold is a lawyer, author, and intuitive who helps others access their own potential and purpose. Since her early teens, she has spent decades exploring, understanding, and perfecting her own natural gift of intuition and uses it to inspire others. In fact, everything Carol does is built upon the foundation of allowing intuition to be her guide. She has and is working on two new books. Kaylee's Journey is the co-author children's book helping children understand loss, love, and intuition. And The Cardinal Principles, 12 Principles for Surviving Change, is her most exciting work thus far. It's about the universal principles that transcend the physical world and exist to provide us with a framework for conscious living. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, Lori. Good to be here.
Very glad to have you. And I think this is a very exciting topic. I've noticed a lot of our listeners and people through my social media are very excited about hearing more about enhancing their intuition and what it means to us. And you know, Carol, I do a blog every week before my show on the topic and reading a lot of research about even how the government is really taking intuition very seriously because of a lot of scientific research that has been done. And you know, how people use their gut to make really quick decisions, like our, for example, our military and our decision makers have to make quick decisions often, and how we can use our gut to do that. So it is really becoming very, you know, much more out there to the world and well known. So I guess I'd like to start off by asking you, as an intuitive, how do you explain intuition?
Well, intuition is that what we call that inner voice. But what I like to do is think about it in terms of energy and in terms of frequency. So let me explain what I mean, Lori. You know, right now we're podcasting, right? And there are waves going through the air that are unseen that are nonetheless carrying information. They're transmitting, it's being received from a transmission point to a receiving point. Mm-hmm. Well, everything is energy. Everything is energy. The table that's in front of you is energy. It's just all a matter of density. It's a matter of vibratory frequency. Some of it's vibrating at a more rapid rate, and some of it's vibrating more slowly. And so I like to say that just as there's AM and FM, there's a whole bunch of other M's out there. There's a whole bunch of other frequencies. Dolphins hear things we don't hear. Animal cats hear things we don't hear. Dogs hear things we don't hear. And so it's a matter of opening yourself up, of making yourself essentially a receiver for frequencies that are out there that you just don't normally tune into. And so if you're in your car and you want to hear Beethoven, the likelihood that you're going to hear it on AM is pretty slim. But if you tune into FM, suddenly there's the music you want to hear. Well, information is no different. And it's a matter of getting comfortable with and opening yourself up to receiving and transmitting, in certain cases, on frequencies that we simply don't commonly think of as viable options.
And we know these frequencies are out there, obviously.
Well, before there was telegraph, before there was radio, I mean, there's always been, if you go back to Tesla, Nikola Tesla actually said, and if you don't know who he was Einstein, he was Edison's contemporary, and in fact, they were, in a sense, they butted heads their whole lives, and we actually owe a great deal more to Tesla in a way than we do to Edison. Tesla was on the verge of proving that energy, as in lighting the lights in our home and running the appliances in our home, is actually free and in the air for everyone to use. Not your electrical supplier, not your utility company, but it's actually free and in the air. We just simply haven't learned how to harness it yet. And so, yes, the answer to your question is, of course there are other frequencies. They've been in existence before we discovered them, as in radio waves, and they're in existence once we discover them. But think of all the potential possibilities of what we have not yet discovered or figured out how to access. Intuitives learn how or are born with a certain ability which can be then subsequently developed to access those frequencies, or at least one or more of them.
And Carol, could I ask you, in terms of people having this ability, I mean, I know I have it to a certain extent. I believe, of course, everybody has it to a certain extent. But are you born with a stronger ability? Are some people born with a stronger ability than others?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question, Laurie. Are some people born better artists than others?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And are some people born more mathematically inclined than others?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's your answer. Absolutely. Some people are born with a heightened sense of development of what we generally call right brain activity. And left brain activity, which is the logical, rational side of the brain, is not where intuition is born or flourishes. Now, recently, studies have begun to show that we talk about left and right brain, and rightfully so, but no pun intended, rightfully so.
Yes.
But there's no actual, it's not that delineated. It's not that clear cut. Those hemispheres actually interact more than as if there's a line drawn down the center of them, but it's that right brain development. And yes, some people are born more highly developed than others. My first, that I'm aware of, my first conscious intuitive experience happened to me when I was 12 years old. Now, I didn't know what that was. I know it terrified me and it terrified others around me, but it was there very early on. It wasn't something I sought. It wasn't something I was working on developing. It wasn't something I even had words to define or to understand at that point. But it was nonetheless an inclination, a skill that I had within me.
And can you tell us a little bit about like what you saw?
Well, at the time I was a camper in an overnight camp up in upstate New York, and there were bunks in that you slept in, and I was in an upper bunk. And it happens that I went to sleep one night, we all did, and apparently in my sleep, I started to scream like someone who was having a nightmare. And my bunk mates and my counselor were trying to awaken me, and they had difficulty waking me. But when they finally did, for some unknown reason, the first words out of my mouth were, "What time is it?" And somebody said, strangely, they must have looked at their watch. I don't even know how this happened. I just remember them saying, "You know, it's 2:08 in the morning." And I was very scared, the way you are when you wake up from a nightmare. And mm-hmm. So what I had dreamed was, it was this giant hand, and in that hand was a little infant, and the infant was on its back, and it was wiggling its legs and its arms, and slowly the hand was closing. And when the hand finally completely closed and reopened, that baby, that infant, was still. It wasn't moving. Mm-hmm. And it was very terrifying to me. Well, in the morning, we were awakened by a telegram from our counselor's family in Georgia that her brother had died the night before at 2:08 in the morning.
Oh my gosh, I just got the chills from that.
Imagine, to this day I get the chills. So imagine to a 12, and by the way, my bunkmates, they were terrified of me the rest of the summer.
Oh, I'll bet.
Imagine at that age how terrifying not only the dream, but the experience was to me, that for years, until my, I would say my late 20s, when I had yet another experience that turned me in another direction. Between 12 and my late 20s, I was terrified that I knew things or saw or heard things or saw things or knew something about a person I shouldn't know. And I suppressed it because it created fear in me. Because like any other unknown, we tend to shy away, right? So it wasn't until my late 20s that I actually was able to turn that around through a positive encounter with someone who was able to show me and explain to me what it was I had and how to use it for the highest good of myself and others.
Wow. That's really interesting. Well, I have to tell you, this has happened to me. And quite frankly, I don't think I think I have some of both. I'm not a great math person. I think I'm probably more right-brained. But ever since I was a young child, I don't know when this started, but I would have flashes constantly. If I had a flash of something, Carol, it would always happen. And it was usually something that it wasn't always bad. It could be good, but a flash would come before me just of something. But if it was a flash of something bad as I got older, if I literally say out loud, like I've had flashes of deer running in front of me before. And if I say out loud, I'm perfectly fine driving, the deer will not be crossing my path, I'm okay, it doesn't. But I tell you, if I don't acknowledge the flash, it always happens. I don't know what that is or how strange that sounds, but I've had that since I can remember as a kid.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you know, you say you have a little of both. Remember, I'm a lawyer. That's left brain, right? That's logical, rational left brain. And I'm an intuitive. So there I am trying to create a life of balance, which is obviously what we all want. We all want to live a balanced life. So first of all, there is the issue of figuring out where you're strong and where you're weak and then bringing those aspects of yourself into harmony and into balance. The other part of what you just said is, it's my personal experience that if you tell the universe what you're available for and what you're not available for, you will receive that for which you've made yourself available, and you will keep from yourself that which you have stated you're unavailable for. What I mean by that, and it's a version of what you're saying about the deer. I learned early on, you know, that dream that I had, I'm not interested in death and accidents, and I don't want to sit, you know, with a turban on a boardwalk somewhere with a crystal ball telling people when they're next going to inherit, you know, $50,000. That's not, I make myself available for the information of the person who's sitting in front of me for their highest good and the highest good of their soul. In other words, I ask for the information that will help get them to where they next need to be. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, I have many lives, I like to say, that are happening simultaneously. So beside being an attorney and a jury consultant and an author, one of the things I do is counsel people intuitively. I do what traditionally has been called readings, but it really needs a new language because it's much more than that. It's basically intuitive counseling. And I use my ability to see into the unseen and hear the inaudible to guide people, to help people move along, because that's my desire. And so that's the kind of information that I get. So in essence, when you say, you know, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to drive fine, the deer are not going to cross my path, you are setting out your intention. You are letting the universe know through sound or through thought form that you're not available for that experience. And there's so much more that the mind is capable of doing, especially in conjunction with the heart, because they vibrate at two different frequencies. There's so much that we're able to do with the passion of our heart and the intelligence of our brain that we have not a clue as to the magnitude of what we're able to accomplish. And so it's really easy to kind of dismiss it all and say, that's a bunch of nonsense, or you can't heal someone. Well, I do healings regularly. I'm not saying that I'm Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Mother Teresa. I'm not saying that I'm a prophet, and every reading or every counseling session I do is 100% accurate, because I don't think anyone has an accuracy rate of 100%. But when the intention is set and the desire is there and the person is open and willing and it's your intention to be of service, miraculous things can happen.
Of course. So I assume this is probably, you know, an obvious question and answer, but what I was having was intuition, correct?
Yes, you were having intuition, and then you were, shall we say, you were helping sculpt your reality. So because there is only the now, and we could go really deep on this, but let's just use the movie The Matrix, if you've seen it. Because there are multiple realities occurring at one time, we live in a holographic universe. And it's why I like to say, you know, there's no past and there's no future. And if there is, show it to me. The only thing I'm sure of is right now I'm podcasting with Laurie Peters. That's the only thing I know for certain, because that's the moment in which I'm living right now. And that's really the only moment I can affect. But I can send out thought forms, and I can project and broadcast into the hologram what I'm willing to experience in the next now. Because this now is gone. This mm-hmm. now is gone. This now is gone. We've now just slipped through three nows, 3 seconds that are gone. But you can set up what you're available for in the next now.
Well, that's a wonderful thought to be able to do that, because, you know, we all want, you know, we talk about happiness. This is called the happiness hangout and being happy. But what does being happy really mean? Well, it's different for all people. And putting an intention out there and using, you know, I feel like using these gifts are gifts that we've been given as human beings. And I personally find that very exciting. Very powerful, you know, that we have that capability, and why not, you know, be able to do things that take our lives in the directions where we want them to go. I mean, some people, if they want to be just let life take them where they want and they don't want to do this, that's up to them. But I love the idea of, you know, creating more of the life I want. I think that's very, you know, the word powerful is very, it's touchy, because some people don't like that, but shouldn't we really have the power over our own, at least some power over our own lives to do, you know, the things that we think are best for us? So I find it very intriguing, because it's something that I can't really use my five senses.
Well, let's take that a little further, what you're saying. We said it initially, I said everything is energy. So you can use energy correctly or incorrectly. If you plug, you know, 110 into a 220, you're going to blow your appliance and you're going to blow your circuit, right? Because mm-hmm. you have to use energy correctly. Well, if everything is energy, then so are you, and so are your thoughts, your words, your actions, your deeds. It's all energy. So I like to look at the word righteousness, which is a religious word. And if you take the O out of righteousness, you've got right useness. And I happen to believe if you're left with the USE and you just move those letters around, you've got right useness in the middle of righteousness. I like to believe that it's much easier for people to think in terms of using energy correctly than it is to think in terms of sin or goodness or evil, because it's less burdensome and it's easier to manage if you think about right useness. So, for example, if my theory is if you use energy rightly, you will wind up being what religion calls righteous. So, for example, if you use your mouth to send out words of hate or negativity. It's the happiness hour, right? So if you aren't sending out words of support and love and happiness, then you're using energy wrongly, and you're creating a world where whatever you're sending out in negativity is the energy that you are feeding. It's the energy that you're broadcasting, and it is the energy that will come back to you, because you're creating what's in front of you. You're creating your next experience through your thoughts, words, and deeds. So I believe that using energy rightly means being conscious and responsible about what we think, what we say, and what we do. And when you begin to think like that, you're much more thoughtful, and you're much more careful around what it is you do think, and what it is you do say, and what it is you actually do.
You know, for years, since I started studying the law of attraction and looking at quantum physics, which is not the easiest thing to take in. Whoa, I said I was reading about it and had to read it like 7 times before it really sunk in many, many years ago. But the thing even the biggest skeptic could get is that everything is energy. We know that for an absolute fact, that everything is energy. So if and you're right about using it for good. I mean, using it in the way that makes our humankind better, makes our world better, makes the things that we want to happen for good, would be the only, you know, thing that, if you believe that humans are good at their core, and I do, and I think most people truly do, if they think about it. It's not that we don't do bad things or have bad behaviors, but we certainly are good at our core. So if we really want what's good, then, you know, using this energy would be, you know, a no-brainer. We would want to use it. And I'll tell you, I've been working at this for years, and I have found my gut, Carol, my gut has led me where before it was me depending on other people. Talk, and I think a lot of us do this, and our listeners might relate to this. We go to other people for advice. We don't know what to do. We're really not open to what we really know is right. And what we really know is right is within us. So I guess I'd like you to even talk about, if you would, like, oftentimes people are scared of this. There's fear around it. People think of, you know, are you using the word intuitive for psychic, and I don't get what you're talking about. I mean, can you kind of address those issues? Because I love that you're here, because you've got that right and left brain. You're the perfect person to really be here with us tonight. You know, talk to people in general who don't maybe really pay attention to this. How do we get past all that?
Let me just back up and say, in your study of quantum physics, have you ever read Dancing with the Woolly Masters by Gary Zukav?
Yes, but not recently. But yes,
because
I have.
I recommend that for anyone who's listening who is interested in seeing quantum physics applied to our metaphysical, spiritual, everyday lives. It's a remarkable book, Dancing with the Woo, the Dancing Woo, W.U. Lee, L.I. Masters by Gary Zukav. I think he wrote it in 1979. And in fact, I think he won the U.S. National Book Award for that book. It's a remarkable book. Anyway, having said that, your question, Laurie, we have been conditioned for millennia to be disempowered. And one of the best ways to disempower people is to make them afraid to go within. Because if you are reliant on someone or something outside of yourself, then it can go when they go. Or it can go when it goes. But if you are reliant upon what is within you, and I'm talking about a within that transcends ego, not the part of you that is basically a tool master that you've been given to get through the material world, which is what your brain is. It's not what your mind is. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is a tool you've been given to help you get through the physical world, all of us. If you learn how to access your mind, which is connected to the greater mind, which is connected to the source of all that is, whatever you want to call that, if you learn to do that, then your power is always with you. Your power is wherever you are. It's not reliant upon someone or something else. So in relationships, we tend to look for someone who empowers us in ways that we feel we lack. There are very few relationships that are actually born of people who feel complete, or certainly complete enough to stand on their own. Most relationships are formed as agreements, non-spoken agreements. I'll bring this, you bring that, and together we'll have a whole something, right? And then when somebody changes their mind about what they were willing to bring, or they tire of what their part of the bargain was, and they change what they're bringing to the table, that relationship falls apart, whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship. Because any exterior, and that's why I think in the Bible it says, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anything outside of you is a false idol. The true worship, if you would, the true source of your uniqueness as a free-willed human who is conscious, because there are many who are unconscious and some who are semi-conscious, when you are fully conscious in the moment, your gift is your connection to the source of all that is. So for example, I say we invented computers because there was a prototype in someone's mind of what a computer was, because there's somewhere a big computer in the sky. And I say that facetiously. There's somewhere the intelligence of software, hardware. I mean, if you think about it, it mimics the real world. The hardware is the body and the software is the, if you would, the soul. So everything has a prototype, or we wouldn't even be able to envision it. But that prototype is infinite and endless, which is why every single one of us is unique, because the possible manifestations of source energy is literally infinite and endless. It's like an endless series of combinations and permutations, if you would, in math, and or in your example of quantum physics. And so every one of us has a unique voice, a unique mission, if you would, a unique path to walk in manifesting yet one more aspect of pure creative energy. So you're not here to be like anyone else. You're not here to copy anyone else. You're not here to dress like anyone else. You're not here to perform work like anyone else. You're here to be uniquely you. And the question you want to ask yourself every day is this the experience I want God to have? Whatever you're doing, is this the experience you want God to have? Because essentially that's what's happening. Now, how do you maximize that? You recognize that you're a receiver. On one end, you're a receiver of divine information. And on the other side, you're a transmitter of that divine inspiration. So part of you receives it and part of you transmits it or becomes it, manifests it. You can't manifest your uniqueness if you aren't receiving it, if you don't know what it is. And the only reason you would be afraid of it is because you've been taught not to trust that. You've been taught to look around you and follow the rules and the guidelines that are external to you. And while they may be arrows along the path of life, they're not the path of life. You create your own path of life. There are certain rules you do need to follow, and they're pretty basic, you know? It's do not do unto another that which you would not want done unto yourself. It's cause no harm. There's some very basic rules, and there are very few of them that everybody needs to follow. Past that, you're on your own. But you're not on your own in the sense that you've been cast out there alone. You've got a mechanism within you that you can only access through silence. This is really important. You can only access it through silence because you can't listen while you're talking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you can't listen while you're doing. And you certainly can't listen while you're stressed. So it's through silence that you become a receiver. And it's through silence that you begin to hear, or experience or sense, and then trust that that guidance is there for your highest good. And the more you trust it, the more you listen to it, the more you follow it, the more and the faster and the richer it begins to deposit into you. So it's like a muscle. It's like going to the gym and exercising a muscle. You can think about it all day long, but if you actually don't go do the exercises, it's not going to happen. My experience is in developing intuition that a key component of that is meditation. Mm-hmm. What kind of meditation differs for all kinds of people. For me, it's transcendental meditation. I was blessed enough to be taught it by a good friend several years ago, and it's been a real boost to me, and it makes a difference in my life. It's not how I found my intuition. It's not even how I developed my intuition in the early years. But it is, I have found, kind of like it's like a giant leap. When you meditate, your intuition, your inner guidance, your connection to source energy takes a quantum leap forward. And so I put it out there for people as a possible way to jumpstart, if you will, if you want to, you know, make up for lost time. And by the way, that's something else, Laurie. The universe really will help you make up for lost time. If you've not been open to all this for a very long time, but suddenly open yourself to it with a true intention to want to access your own inner guidance and connect with source energy for your highest good, you'll be shocked at how your life will move forward and your awareness will expand and your happiness and your joyfulness, because they're different. Your happiness and your joyfulness will increase exponentially, and you will, in fact, make up for lost time.
Well, you know, I do want to have callers. So, in the middle of all this, and what I would say to you is that that's what obviously we call developing. The best way to develop this muscle, as you say, is a quiet mind, however you need to do it. I have a very hard time meditating, but I do find quiet moments a lot. And that for me does it. And when I did have that intention, I've noticed that's where my intuition really spiked. So what I want to do is, so we don't forget, and if you don't mind, we're just going to keep rolling, Carol. I would like to put out the number for callers of people that have questions for Carol, want to talk about their own intuition or their experiences. Please call us at 888-627-6008. Again, we're taking callers anytime through the rest of our show at 888-627-6008. And this is a really great explanation of it because, you know, in terms of religion, we have listeners of all different types, you know, for this show. And would you agree with wherever the energy is coming from, it doesn't matter. I mean, your higher place could be energy coming from nature, from God, from your own sense of spirituality, whatever that might be. Do you agree with that? It can be whatever feels bigger to you is your sense of spirituality.
I would say that as long as whatever you're receiving is not directing you to do harm to mm-hmm. yourself or others, then you are accessing guidance that can only be of benefit to you and others. Light, as I call it, light energy, light frequency, does not direct you to do harm.
And that can that come from multiple places? Well, can that come from nature? Can that come from whatever you feel? Is that a personal thing?
It's very personal, and it's all a matter of what you're open to, what you're inclined to, and the environment in which you place yourself. It can all come through different, let's call them channels. The source of it all is the same, but it's like branches on a tree. You know, the energy comes up from the ground. It doesn't just grow the trunk. It branches out into that energy goes out into a million different branches that forms the tree and then the leaves and the flowers. So the energy disperses and can come through a variety of vehicles for reaching individuals, depending on how you open to it.
Oh, cool. Okay, good. So anybody could do this, no matter what their belief in what's bigger than them, no matter if it's God, nature, doesn't really matter, does it? Whatever they feel, they can gain that energy from.
Everyone uses different language, and I sometimes think that it's just the words that separate us, that in most instances, not all, but in most instances, we're all basically talking about the same thing and looking for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, which is why I like to talk about energy. You know, the left brain in me can sit with an audience of 100 attorneys, and I can have or scientists or whatever, and I can have a conversation about this in language that all of them will be able to hear me and all of them will get it. And I can sit with 100 psychics in a room or 100 yoga teachers or whatever you want, and I can have that same discussion in a completely different language using completely different words, okay? And
yes,
they'll get it. And they'll get it. But I can't mix and match or they won't get it, which is why I love the energy analogy, because most people can step outside of their religious or their construct, whatever it may be, and energy is a lot easier to understand and say, oh yeah, I get that, because you talk about plugging an appliance into the wrong outlet, and everybody understands that that's going to short the appliance, blow the circuit, maybe create a fire in your house. It's easy to understand that kind of analogy.
Exactly. And wherever you feel comfortable is where it's going to come through. It's just, like you said, it's a matter of words, semantics, and however you're most comfortable. Well, you know, I think what a lot of people are dying to know is how do we increase, enhance, advance, whatever word we want to use, how do we create that intuition in us? How do we move it forward? How do we bring more of it to us? To those of us who maybe have started doing it, or perhaps were never even open to it, how do we do it? I know you did talk about meditation. Are there any other, you know, tips, hints, or discussion we can have around how we advance it?
Well, first of all, you're not dying to know, you're living to know. So be careful about the language that you use.
I like that. Okay.
Creating your next moment. All kidding aside.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple practical things you can do. Some of them are very mundane and some are a little more esoteric. You can write with your non-dominant hand.
Really?
A couple times a day, stop what you're doing, shift the pen or the pencil to the non-dominant hand and write a few sentences or write for 5 minutes. When you do that, what you're doing is you're shutting off your logical, rational mind, because you're having to move into a realm of the unknown, basically, with your body. So one of the things you can do is simply shift your hand and write with the non-dominant hand. The other thing you can do is there's always been little stuff like, you know, when your cell phone rings, before you look at the readout and before you answer it, just say, I think it's Linda, or I think it's I think it's my office, or just start doing that. Start finding out how much you really do know that you don't know you know, how much awareness you actually have of things that you think you have no knowledge of or no ability to discern. You can begin in the course of a day to be aware of instincts you have that you don't follow. So for example, you can, let's say you're headed somewhere and you have this thought, you know, I should really stop off at, I'm going to pass Barnes & Noble. I should stop at the bookstore or whatever. And you dismiss it. Or you think, I should really stop. I've got an extra 10 minutes. Let me stop at the bookstore. You go to the bookstore and you run into someone you haven't seen in a long time, or you see a book that you were looking for forever and couldn't find, or whatever it is happens to you at the bookstore. You see, there's free will is choice. That's what it is. We're all blessed with choice. And so when you make every choice you make sets up a different next moment. So during the day, we all have these little things that we think. We have a feeling, I should go here, I should go there, and we dismiss it. Begin to record, begin to make note of the thoughts you have that you don't follow through with. Because many of those are what are actually called guidance. You're being guided what to do. You're being guided where to go. But we are so used to saying, well, that's ridiculous because I have to be over here. I can't go over there. I have to be over here in 25 minutes. And when in reality, you don't have to be over there. You have to be over here. But because that's where your next highest experience is, but you dismiss it because you're not used to listening to guidance. So initially, even before you listen to it and follow it, just acknowledge it and make note of it. Write it down. I had the thought out of nowhere, maybe I should, and then I didn't. Fine, you didn't. But begin to look at what you dismiss.
Oh, very interesting.
Bringing your consciousness to a new set of circumstances, meaning beginning to observe what you're dismissing in your life, is going to shift how you're perceiving your life. And that's really what you want to do. You want to begin to shift your perception.
I see. Well, we do have a caller, Carol. We have Marianne on line one for a question for you. So, Marianne, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you. Carol, I have a question.
Yes, Marianne.
I don't know if this is your field or not, but I have several friends that really believe in places being haunted and in ghosts and the energy that comes from that, and that when someone dies that their spirit is still there in the house. I mean, what do you think of that?
You know, it's actually a very complicated subject, but let me say a couple of things. If you were listening to the show early, I said you can say what you're available for and what you're not available for. So, for example, I like to say miracles only happen to people who believe in miracles, right? Because if you don't believe in miracles, one can never happen to you because you'd never perceive it as such. If you make yourself unavailable for certain energies, those energies will no longer disturb you. There are energies around that we don't see. There's actually a belief system that if we could actually see what's going on around us at all time, we'd faint from fear because it's a hologram and there's all different levels of energy and occurrences the same way there's all different frequencies of sound. So yes, I would say you can have what I call negative energy. You can have people who leave the physical plane and have difficulty letting go. Many of us have difficulty letting go in life, right? Letting go of jobs, letting go of partners, letting go. You can have difficulty letting go of the body as well. And so there are people who, once the soul leaves the body, they have difficulty releasing the physical world and they hang around sometimes for a while and sometimes for longer than a while. And the same thing with locations. They may stay at a certain location, like a house. However, and I just had this recently happen with a neighbor of mine. Her husband died a few years ago. They were very close. They were very enabling of one another in some good ways and some not good ways. And so she's forever trying to go to sleep at night, and she sees all these people in her bedroom. And one day she told me, she said, there's all these people at night when I try to go to bed. I see all these, there's no bodies, there's just faces all over my bedroom. And I see them clear as a bell. And I said, okay, well, we're going to take care of that. So I went there and in essence, I set the field. I set the intention. I closed off what she was going to be available for. I put certain energetic guards or barriers around her house and then around her bedroom. And I did the things I know to do to clear energy and to set up energetic fields of protection the same way there are energetic fields, you know, around nuclear installations in this country. You don't see them, but if you cross those fields, you're going to get shocked, okay? So you can do the same thing. And so, yes, I believe you can have energy that is mislocated, for lack of a better word. And I believe that you have defenses against that and protections against that that are available to you the same way it's available to you to be able to heal another human being. But you have to know how to use the energy. You have to be open to the energy and you have to have certainty in what it is you're doing.
Can you give me an example of negative energy other than someone just acting negatively?
Oh, absolutely. Someone five states away from where you live wishing you ill.
Oh.
Someone thinking about you and thinking about you unkindly.
Hmm.
Thoughts are things. Thoughts travel. We create... this entire physical world is a manifestation of a creative thought in a mind beyond something we can even comprehend. You're God in action. You're a thought of creator in action, having an experience of itself, because it can't experience itself inside of itself. It can only experience itself in relation to the other. You are the other. I am the other. The physical world is the other. And so... When you have a thought, since you were created in the image and likeness of, as the story goes, right? Since you can have a thought and create as well, you do it when you create a painting, you do it when you write a story. Whenever you're creative, you do it when you make a child. Whenever you're creative, you are manifesting something in the physical world. Someone across the globe who's very connected to you emotionally can actually send you energy that would disrupt your energetic field. And there's something you can do every morning when you wake up to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
Well,
you get up in the morning, at least I do. I'm not saying you have to. My particular method is very simple. I get up in the morning. I happen to believe in the angelic realms, because they are mentioned even in the Christian and the Jewish Bible. So I believe that they were created before the physical world was, and they are energetic beings. And we give them names like Michael and Gabriel and Ariel, but they're just like AM and FM. They're just frequencies. And it's not an individual angel. It's an energetic field. And so I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do every morning is I ask the Archangel Michael. That is the energy field that does battle, so to speak, that keeps away negative energy and breaks down negative energy. I ask the Archangel Michael to sever any cords of negativity that may be attached to me from the night or previously. Then I ask the Archangel Metatron, who is my personal connection to the Archangel, to the fields of Archangel, of the archangels. I asked Metatron to seal those openings where those cords were cut, to seal those openings with a divine white light of consciousness. And then I asked the Archangel Michael to enclose me in a diamond dome of protection so that nothing may be with me but light and nothing may come to me but light. And that takes about less than 60 seconds every morning, but I do it with total conscious awareness of what I'm doing. And I am communicating with that energetic field called Michael and Metatron. And by the way, my daughter, who's currently in the Israeli army as a volunteer for 3 years, my 22-year-old, every morning I enclose her in a diamond dome of protection as well. Because the same way that you can send negative energy to someone with a thought, so too can you send positive energy, which is why prayer works, and why the more people you have praying for you or praying for healing or praying for peace works, because it's magnified, it's squared or it's cubed or it's however many times multiple of the thought form that is being sent out. And there are studies on this, by the way. When the Transcendental Meditation Center in Fairfield, Iowa, meditated every single day during the Lebanon War with Israel, the last war with Lebanon, every time that 1,000 meditators prayed for peace, the conflict de-escalated. And every time they stopped praying, the conflict escalated again. And this was a controlled study. There are many such studies around prayer. And so that's the global answer, or the cosmic answer, or the macro answer to your question, which is the micro question, which is, you know, are there negative energies and what can we do about them?
Mm. Oh, this is a lot. I really enjoyed listening to this, so I thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for the question.
And really, Carol, we could be very simple about it, couldn't we, and just say, you know, all energy, you know, I'm putting out, you know, positive energy out to the world, and I would be grateful if as that all positive energy, you know, affects me, and or something very simple. Could we not do that if we weren't of the mindset? The same mindset as you in terms of, you know, your belief system and had a different belief system, how could we do it?
Well, everyone has to be true to themselves, and everyone has, as you know, I said before, we're, none of us are here to be copies of the other. So while I told you what I did, and it might sound very complicated or, gee, I can't remember what she said, I agree with you, Laurie, that the intention is key and the language is key. The words that you use for your intention, that you say it out loud, is also key because you want to make it manifest real. Mm-hmm. And that you have certainty in what you're saying. You know, I joke, I say, you know, Islamic terrorists are certain. They're certain about what they believe in. They're crazy about what they believe in, but they're certainly crazy about what they believe in, meaning there's no question. There's no if and or but. They believe what they believe with certainty, and that beheading is a perfectly godlike thing to do. When you have certainty, it's very powerful. It's very powerful. So no matter what words you use or what your construct is, you need to have certainty. You need to use words that are authentic for you, that resonate with your heart, and set the intention for what it is you're trying to accomplish.
So however you say it, it really doesn't matter. Just say it positively. Say the words in a positive manner, and use what feels right to you, in essence.
And your heart and your mind have to be of one one frequency, not of one frequency. Your heart and your mind have to have a singular intention. Yes. And can I say that it doesn't matter? I wouldn't go that far to say it doesn't matter, but I suspect that whatever level of awareness you're at, if your intention is to do good, the highest good for yourself and others, then you will be guided to use the language that is most appropriate for you and what you're trying to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that's why anybody can do this, and that's what's exciting about it. And I love the things that you said about using your left hand. I taught a class called The Artist's Way, to open up creativity many years ago. And we had to do everything different than we did before. And that was the start of the major change for me about 15 years ago. And I can understand the writing with the left hand, doing things differently. So if I could recap, write with the left hand.
No.
Or the opposite hand that you normally write with.
Yeah, the non-dominant hand, right.
Non-dominant hand. Recap the other two things you said just so we're sure.
I said before you ever pick up your cell phone or look at the readout,
yes. Okay.
Ask yourself, who is this? And make it fast, you know, just see what the first thing that comes up. And the other thing is that begin to become aware of and record the thoughts you have that you don't act on.
Right. That's right. And then as you move forward, you start to act on them, obviously.
Correct. You start to one at a time, and then that's how you learn to trust. That's how you learn to trust that this voice is there for your highest good. And these promptings, these urgings, this guidance is actually trying to get you where it is you want to go in a more efficient and a more soul-nourishing way.
Well, this is making a lot of sense, because when my mom passed away, I talked with her and I said, if you show up in some kind of white flowy thing, it's going to freak me out. That's what I said to her. And so I always have this vision of, you know, looking out at my other bedroom's window and she's flowing in a white thing. And it's funny. I said, just come in my dreams. And it's funny because my goodness, I was sure that she was in my room. I've had several experiences of her being here that I just really feel were her. In my mind, it just feels that way to me, but never has she done that thing that I asked her not to do. And I just have to laugh because, you know, when you talk about, you know, setting up boundaries and that kind of thing. So I do have to mention, we have about only 2 minutes left. And there's one last question because of our show I want to ask you. How are intuition and happiness connected?
I'll tell you in one second, but let me do a quick plug, okay?
Yes.
I do a podcast, Above the Fray podcast, on Mondays and Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio. I have a book called The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear, that's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. I do personal readings. My website is Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, gold.com, and you can schedule private sessions with me if you like off my website. The answer to your question is, your intuition is where your happiness lies. It's also where your joy lies, and I distinguish them because I always say that I believe happiness can come and go, but joy never does. Joy, once you have it, stays in your heart, which is how Tibetan prisoners who are being beaten by the Chinese can pray for the well-being of their captors. Because when you have joy, it's an understanding that everything that happens to you in your life is happening on time, on purpose, and for your highest good. And so when you learn to listen to your intuition, what you wind up finding is that the more you open to your inner power, the more you allow yourself to connect with Source directly from within and not from external circumstances, the more joyful you become and the more accepting of life you become, because you realize that you're not disempowered, you're not a victim, you are co-creating your life along with a power that has nothing but your highest good in its interest. And from that comes not only happiness, but comes a really deep joy that nothing and no one can take away from you.
Wonderful. That is a great way to end this show. And Carol Gold, thank you for doing the commercial for me. It was even better than mine that I had. So I'm really, really glad you did. Make sure you check out carolgold.com, Carol with an E. Carol, this was so wonderful, enlightening, and interesting information. I really enjoyed you and loved having you on the show. So thank you for being on the Happiness Hangout.
It was my pleasure, Laurie. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night. And thanks, everybody, for joining us on the show. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net and click on the shopping link, or go to my page here at BBS Radio.